This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellens. With me is our militant grammarian, Catherine Schultz.
Kyle, what are you doing?
I'm working.
Sorry, that was just my way of getting you to think more creatively about punctuation.
Okay. All right. Explain further, please.
If you were to write what I just said to you, how would you end the sentence?
Oh, that's a good question, because it's got to be, there should be a term, and maybe I'm about to find out there is.
You know there is.
It's an exclamation point and question mark, because it's a question mark, but it's so forceful that mere question mark doesn't do the job.
Now, are these going to be separate, or are they going to be together?
Well, they're going to be together, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that is an interrobang. It is a real punctuation mark in some fonts.
Interrobang.
Interrobang.
Sounds like a sports car, but go ahead.
Well, you've got the interrogate, question mark. Bang is the exclamation. Using a question mark in conjunction with an exclamation point or two can convey an urgency of the question. But in the age of Twitter, even though tweets can now be 280 characters.
Yeah, we needed that. We needed
really
more vitriol.
Thanks so much. Yeah. Up from an original 140, writers still don't want to waste time with unnecessary punctuation. Enter the intrabang. Interrobang.
Interrobang.
A question exclamation hybrid. The interrobang is more than 50 years old, but it never caught on, never really caught on. And what it is, I can tell you on a typewriter, you type a question mark and then you backspace to the space where you type the question mark
and you
type an exclamation point.
Okay.
And supposedly they share the same point, right?
Sure.
But they have this.
But they're different enough in shape.
Looks a little like a dollar sign, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah, with the line through it. The interrobang was invented in 1962 by Martin K. Spector, a journalist turned advertising executive who thought using multiple punctuation marks at the end of a sentence was ugly. So he changed our language.
Okay.
The mark is still included in many modern typefaces, including the defaults on operating systems for both Apple and Microsoft. The version used today appears to have been designed by Kenneth Wright for the Remington Rand typewriter. Although it unambiguously conveys the meaning of the mark, the symbol is not much to look at.
Yeah.
It's kind of ugly.
Clunky.
Creative punctuation makers have been at work for centuries. We're going to look at some of their proposals.
Yes.
All right.
Because you know what? It hasn't been a big enough growth industry. We need
more
punctuation.
Really?
Yes.
And the fun part for me is I get to describe a punctuation mark.
Here we go. Yes.
So, Kyle, what's the problem sometimes when you ask a rhetorical question in writing?
Well, because a question, you're not really asking the question. That's the rhetorical question. Mm-hmm. You're kind of being snarky about it or you know. So a question mark doesn't really supposed to go there.
So somebody may think that you're really asking
exactly
that question.
Lost in translation.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you should use the percontation point.
Okay.
Percontation. Or rhetorical question mark. It's a backward question mark.
Oh, okay.
Proposed by Henry Denham in 1580. Yes. As an end to a rhetorical question and was used until the early 1600s. He had 20 years. Good there. 20 good years there.
Huh. Okay.
And Kyle, you and I are alike in this respect. We love irony.
Mm-hmm.
But like rhetorical questions, sometimes people don't get it, right?
Right.
So you can use an irony mark. Ironically, it looks like the percontation, that's a hard word to say, percontation point.
Mm-hmm.
But the irony mark is smaller, elevated, and precedes a statement. Kind of like the Spanish question.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, this makes sense. Mm-hmm. I like this. Because I've always been jealous of that.
Yeah, no, I know.
In the Spanish language.
You're asking a question.
Yeah.
I know right now.
Yes.
Yeah. And this is going to be ironic.
Right.
I don't need to worry about whether he really believes this or not.
Right.
Proceeds a statement to indicate its intent before it's read. Alcantar de Brome introduced the idea in the 19th century. And in 1966, French author Hervé Bazin proposed the similar glyph along with five other innovative marks. And now, he came up with a bunch of them.
Uh-huh.
Bazin did.
All right.
So what current punctuation marks do you think you could use to make a love point?
A love point?
Yeah.
What is a love point?
Well, that's what you got to figure out. What the existing punctuation marks.
Oh, so if it's a if it's perhaps a term of endearment, I want to
If you want to say
So like a little heart, maybe a heart over
a
dot.
How would you make a heart with punctuation marks we use now?
Oh, I know. You would take a question. You'd put two question marks together.
Yeah, and but one of them would be reversed, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
That's it. It's a forward and a backward, or actually, I guess it's a backward and a forward question mark sharing the same point.
Right. It looks like two swans bending their necks together.
Yeah. And so that's a love point.
I think this Bazine guy and I would have gotten along. Let's keep going.
For those of us who are sometimes quite certain and sometimes in doubt, and isn't that all of us? I hope. Sometimes not. Bazine designed the certitude point and the doubt point.
So I'm supposed to guess now what the certitude point would
be? I don't think you're going to get
okay.
The certitude point looks like an exclamation point, but it has a bar through it. It kind of looks like a cross.
I was about to say, so it's perpendicular. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it this just came to me. The cross on it looks like a Twinkie. I mean, it's rounded on the ends. You know?
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And then if you're not so sure of yourself, you use the doubt point. And this is even harder to describe. It looks something like one of those threes whose top looks like a seven.
Oh, yeah.
I guess they're old-fashioned. I don't know.
Or we think they're old-fashioned. Yeah.
But they're flat on the top, and then they have it look like seven, and then they have a little bubble thing. Yeah. Well, it looks like that, but the bottom is unfinished. Yeah, just Google it.
Yeah, okay. It sounds like... a capital cursive Q, which is the stupidest thing ever invented, but go ahead.
I'm trying to even remember that.
Well, forget about it because one should have to think about the capital cursive Q. It's stupid.
Yeah, it's a backward J, right?
There's something. Yeah, so, no one knows what it is.
Okay. Now, Kyle, are you ever sarcastic?
Only when I'm talking about the backwards capital cursive Q.
Well, you might then want to use the sarc mark.
The sarc mark.
Sarc mark.
Okay.
Short for sarcasm mark.
Mm-hmm. This is more Bazine?
It was invented, copyrighted, and trademarked by Paul Sack.
Okay.
And as you might imagine, it hasn't seen widespread use.
Well, what does it expect? Okay.
It looks like a very loose backward six with a point inside of it.
All right.
And it would be good in a Grolex because it would take up a lot of...
Like, Grolex, in case you missed it, is a term used for swear words that aren't swear words in comic strips.
Yeah, right. So if you wanted to do that, you wanted to be sarcastic, but you didn't want to pay the royalties for it, you could be snarky instead.
Okay.
The snark mark is also used to indicate a sentence that should be understood beyond its literal meaning. And it's just a period followed by a tilde. Everybody can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And tilde is that little squiggle mark Finally, Kyle, I want you to guess what these two marks are for.
Okay.
They are the exclamation comma and the question comma.
Okay, I'm going to guess, purely guess. Exclamation comma is when you're excited about something, but then you give pause and you're a little bit scared of it, too.
Maybe, but in writing, what would that look like? How many sentences would that take in writing?
It'd take two. I see it as sort of a cousin of the semicolon.
Yeah. Now that's good.
That's
better than your
sort
first
of
the analysis. Just there.
Right.
It's a way of exclaiming or questioning, but in the middle of the sentence when you're not ready to end the sentence.
Okay.
Right.
He was talking about the happy hour prices. Wait, what was he doing at happy hour? And then he said...
Yeah, that kind of thing. When you don't really want to end the sentence.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's why I think ellipses were invented. But go ahead. Or ellipses, yes.
Okay. Now you can be excited or inquisitive without having to end the sentence. A Canadian patent was filed for these in 1992, but it lapsed in 1995. So use them freely if you so desire.
Side note. Does anyone think they're going to get rich by copywriting
a
new
idea.
Punctuation mark?
I have no
How
idea.
How would you even get paid for that? I guess if someone puts it on a keyboard?
Well, if they put it on a keyboard, and I guess if you're a real litigious guy, and you saw somebody's flea market sign that had it on it, you could sue them too. As long as you have registered it. Now, if you haven't registered it, you still own it, and you can make people stop using it, but you can't get money out of them.
Well, fonts are like that. People create fonts, and then they own them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All right. It's okay. You know me. I
exclamation
like to talk
point,
law.
Comma, continue.
Yeah, okay. One problem with the adaptation of new marks is, of course, people seldom handwrite anything anymore.
Right.
And with most of these are impossible to type on a standard keyboard. But I suspect if you spend some time delving into computer fonts that you never use, you could find them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a person who still uses pen and paper and you want to see all the marks, search for little-known punctuation marks on mentalfloss.com.
All right. Catherine Churls is our militant grammarian.